And good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining me, David Dubine, here on Brighteon TV Uncensored. Why is everything on our planet locking up in unison? We have stacking materials across Europe, stacking grains across China, the United States, the Mississippi River. Everywhere you look, there's a bottleneck of something. Now there's gasoline shortages, massive bond crashes, the economy's crashing. Food production has stopped in the EU, too expensive to even pack food with the factories. Now, why is all this happening in unison is more the question. So I'm going to run down a huge amount of connecting dots today so you can really get the wider landscape of what's happening from the last 3 months to now, and then you can almost forecast out through the next 3 months how fast this is going to continue its downtrend as we move through November and December with the last of the harvests. Stay with me right after the break. We're going to discuss how you can protect yourselves. I'll see you then.
The Kelly Key easily converts your AR rifle to bolt action, allowing you to keep the rifle you love in assault weapon jurisdictions. The Kelly Key is a true fast drop-in solution. No permanent changes to your rifle. Import, transport, own, and have fun with your AR. Why the Kelly Key? Because a bolt action is not an assault weapon. Stay future ready from gun bans with the Kelly Key. The Kelly Key also lets you quickly and easily build your ideal hunting rifle, lets you build a quiet a suppressed rifle, and benefits your long-range precision shooting. Available now at KellyKey.com with free shipping.
I feel that Juvent is helping me to get better every day in every way.
That impact is what has been shown to help improve your bone density. Without that impact, you're missing a very important nutrient in your physical conditioning program.
The Juvent Micro Impact System allows the person to create more joint range of motion. Now I know there's a chance that nourishment can take place to that joint.
Get one of these.
Nearly all the vitamin C sold at retail today comes from China, and it's made from genetically modified corn. Even though vitamin C is a critical part of immune support, it's also critical to know where your vitamin C comes from. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com. And we only sell non-China, non-GMO vitamin C. We then subject it to rigorous laboratory testing in our own food science lab, checking for heavy metals, glyphosate, as well as microbiological contamination. Only after it passes our tests do we encapsulate it and package it for our audience. You can find it at BrighteonStore.com. It's not the cheapest vitamin C on the market, but it is by far the most rigorously tested and honestly sourced vitamin C available anywhere in the world. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com.
And welcome back right here, Brighteon TV. I'm your host, David Dubine, Adapt 2030 in the Mini Ice Age Conversations podcast. How's our world looking these days? It seems that the information flow is so tidal wave-ish, if that's even a word, that it's really difficult to keep up with what's happening. It's happening at such ferocity and speed. It truly is like a tidal wave sweeping through the planet of events, and each of these events is more intense than the next. Some dovetail and are catalyst for others. And once you start to try to map this out, by the time you think you even have a gleaning of it that makes sense, suddenly there's another just full heat wave of news stories through the day that each one of them could be their own video or series of topics. So I sat down the other night and just tried to pull out what I thought over the last several months were the main indicators of something that seems to be a plan. And you can see how they do connect together. And from this point where we have arrived so quickly after 3 months, where do we go in the next 3 months? Because this is really the catch-all, the tell-all, is when we come into the harvest time right now. A couple of things are happening. The USDA numbers are inflated greatly on the carryover stocks, which means from last year, how much grain really was there available in the silos across America? Because what they're finding is with this bottleneck along the Mississippi River and all these barges that are now unloading onto land, they're finding that the storage houses that were claimed 100% full, we don't have even one space for one pea or one grain of corn or wheat to head into. It's that packed, they go in and it's 50% full or empty. So there needs to be a huge reaccounting of the carryover stocks, which is going to shock the markets. So this is what I look at here. Why is everything globally locking up in unison? This, what you're looking at here, is the most valuable asset and commodity on the planet, period. Bars of gold in comparison are nothing. Barrels of oil, nothing. This is what makes civilization chug along. Enough calories allow the human, whatever countries, civilizations, societies, to innovate, to work, manpower. Without that, you're laying on the ground with a 5-pound bar of gold next to you, and you will trade that for a loaf of bread. This truly is what is society. Not enough food. We've seen this through history. And, you know, as I slide us back into these what are called grand solar minimums, the only possible causation that I can see why everything is happening right now in unison is the self-proclaimed elite give themselves that title. Understand these cycles because they have this information hidden from the general public. But if you knew the onset of the cycles, and let's go back through time here, about 1200 AD, temperatures started to drop across the planet, and many, even from China in the Yuan dynasty, all the way as you travel around the world, there's collapse after collapse after collapse of dynasties, kingdoms, fiefdoms, monarchies, royalty. It doesn't matter if it was in the Mayan era or if it was in China. Europe was affected. Dark Ages started. Like all this had a major effect on the planet. Population declined, of course, crop production lost, people migrated. Now that was called the wolf minimum. Temperature started to stabilize and then return, and then suddenly they fell off again into what's called the sporer minimum. And I would encourage you to take a look at the events of 1450-ish. Suddenly Magna Carta pops up, and whoa, it's a new way to oversee humanity after another collapse. And then the temperature started to stabilize again, and whoosh, we fall right back into the modern minimum, 1650s, and this is the most famous instance of, and well-recorded, event of what had happened and how many people migrated, what kind of wars spurred from this, what population was 25% reduced globally, 25%, from not enough food, starvation, disease, from the modern minimum. And we had a slight version in the Dalton minimum, which was brought on by Mount Tambora in a year without a summer, which we just saw again down in Tonga at the beginning of the year. It is now verified that they are going into a year without a summer, which will greatly dent agricultural production. We are in another grand solar minimum onset right now. If you knew this and you knew society would not be salvageable based on historical cycles, what would you do? Well, you would take as much money out as you could. You would extract wealth. You would distract, though. See, this is the big thing. Distractions need to be at the uber. And the more the signs are in the skies, Jupiter's atmosphere heating, the atmosphere expanding 80,000 miles, more luminous. The more signs there are in the skies, the more signs that we have here of crop losses and massive price increases, the more distractions there will be, so more wealth can be extracted at this time. Now, it's just simple solar forecasting, and where we're coming into the Eddy Grand Solar Minimum. This has been known for 20 years plus, and perhaps the excuse for global warming was given to explain all these changes away. So what do I mean by these changes? Well, if we go back into the Federal Reserve founding, 1913, and then we look into the middle 1930s here, I think this photo was from 1936. Gasoline used to be 13 cents, and then, whoa, they were having problems also during the Great Depression, and suddenly it was 16 and a half cents. Slap the sign right over it. Now, how did our gasoline go from 13 cents a gallon to nearly $9 a gallon in California over this last 3 months? Average in Tennessee went up around 5. How does it go from 16 cents to $5? What happened there? What wealth was extracted through inflation? Theft of the value of a fiat currency. Now, you can only run this out to a certain point, and then it collapses. The end of fiat. So I'm wondering if these cycles were known well before the year 2000, prior to that, by setting up this system that only had a very short shelf life to build up, extract, prepare the elite for whatever safety zones that they're going to run to. Ourselves here setting up near the mountains and national parks in Tennessee, this is our safety zone, but the elite are building their bunkers, etc. Was this cycle known further back 100 years ago when the centennial minimum really started to collapse temperatures, and then there was that catalyst as it, whoa, we have 100 years. Okay, how many times has this game been run before? Because those prior collapses were also overseen by what was then royalty or emperors, and then the collapse, the reemergence, and we come into the society we see today. Now, how many other things are overlapping in history here? And let's just keep it real short in. You know, this pipeline sabotage here, sabotage is one thing. Okay, that's a fact A. But what you're seeing here is an unchecked, unregulated release of methane through the oceans up into the atmosphere. Unchecked. Again and again, how many photos did we see this and how they talk about runaway methane? Oh, you're killing everything in the ocean. Unchecked. What is the narrative, the next move? Oh, we got to go to war over this. Where did I see that before? Iraq. 1991. Remember the invasion of Kuwait? Same exact excuse. Oh, the oil wells are burning. It's unchecked. It's unmitigated. Oh, it's going to cause a massive disaster. There's no regulator on. Oh, it's flowing free. And then we saw these pools of oil. Same, but different. It took us to war after this. The excuses remain the same. Unchecked, so then this needs to happen. Now, not a lot of you that may be watching were alive or even understood what was happening during that time of the Gulf War. Luckily, I was. So when I saw it happen again now with the same unchecked natural resource pipeline break, whatever, hydrocarbon emissions unchecked using as the same excuses, now when you set up for war again, okay, this is a little spooky on the overlap there. And suddenly, out of nowhere, we come the great American worker shortage. Well, it's a great global shortage now. Like suddenly we had a fully working economy with fully staffed companies through the wazoo. And then suddenly we're coming down into, we can't even keep the lights on and the doors open because there's that much of a shift that quickly within a year and a half of complete society functioning at optimum, everything moving at light speed into, we don't have enough workers to even flick the lights on in the stores. What? How did that happen so quickly? You know, we could talk about the vaccines and the damage done there, the health problems associated with that, the die-offs. But then again, truly, how many people have just quit because they've lost hope? Where have all the workers gone? That's more the question. How could we go from a full functioning society in less than 2 years into a collapse phase? And this is happening far faster than anything in the Roman Empire. Roman Empire, it took 50 years, and it was the final 20 where it really collapsed. Circa 450 AD, really, in the history books. So again, I would like to take you back just into a full-functioning society 2 years ago into Germany. Now they're saying frozen and fresh products, complete shutdown. Worst crisis since World War II. Now, if we look at World War II and we go back in there, what was the entire world shut down? So now we're looking at Germany post-World War II. And also, in addition to this, okay, this is cold chain and supermarket. We could go to BASF and chemicals, which we'll talk about in a second. But it's gotten to the point now, you know, I've done a couple prior videos here at Brighton TV about the energy shortages, electrical price increases 10 or 15 times that have shut down steel smelting, zinc, aluminum, tin. There's no more tin cans coming. They ran out of bottles in Belgium. Like, there's a huge amount of things that shut down already On the manufacturing side of the base metals and the base glass that was blown into bottles that then went on to beer and breweries, that is now not functional either. So in Belgium, they're cutting back on their beer production because they don't have enough bottles, bottle caps, cans. What do I see here? Well, Dutch vegetable producer HAK has ceased production also. They're not manufacturing anything. They're using the jars after they have their processed bean or other products that they put into these jars, mainly vegetables and beans. That does not take a lot of power to do that. It takes a huge amount of power to turn a piece of steel into a liquid and reform it into something else. Copper as well. Huge amount of draw on electricity to take that from a copper ingot, you know, those bars that you see, and then run that through and make a rod out of it and then thin it even further and make wires. That requires a huge amount of electricity. Packing something made of a vegetable into a glass jar requires almost zero power in comparison. But here's the scary thing. They're shutting down because they can't be guaranteed of the amount of power they can receive in January and February. So they're just shutting down. And so are so many other food manufacturers and food repackers. So then what does that say for forecasting out 3 months from now, 2 months from now, what's available in the supermarkets on the shelves across Europe? Your guess is as good as mine, but if I were going to err on the side of caution, I would say a huge amount of products will not be available due to high energy prices and companies stopping all manufacture. Now, where do these people go? They're laid off. Natural gas prices are spiking. We've seen the food prices spiking everywhere in the world. You can try to explain it away as inflation or this or that. COVID's gone. Everything should have reopened. I thought we were going back to normal. There's no more normal. It's into the bizarro and macabre from this point forward is the new normal, if there is such a thing. Like they toss that around so easily to bait and switch everybody. We're never going back to 2019. Are you kidding me? That was never the plan. But here, a quarter of adults in the UK. This is from The Guardian. A quarter for anybody, 25%. Of adults in the UK are eating cold meals to save on their power bills so they don't use their stoves. That's unacceptable. This is a major world economy. And how is it that a quarter of population in a major world economy is, they're back to what that, with their little bowls of, begging bowls of gruel? Please give us, can we get some coal too? They're back at that. And the amount of people that are going to move into fuel poverty, or meaning they can't afford to eat and heat their homes at the same time, that's the definition of this fuel poverty, is going to move up from 4.5 million up to 6.7 million. Now, what does that do for a draw on government resources? It's going to cause more economic strife and more inflation as the governments try to print their way out of it. And at the same time, within a few months, how do we go to all food purchases being tracked across supermarkets in Norway. People can't afford the food. They can't heat their food. That they want to track your purchases when you go purchase in the supermarkets. Like, how has this all come in the last 3 months at the same exact time? It's overlapping on top, so everything is moving in uniform fashion. Like, we see all governments moving in fashion like a school of fish. Never used to be like that. So whatever's inbound is so massive, so catastrophic to what we consider the hierarchy of civilization and government itself, that it's not salvageable, and everybody is working. All governments across the planet see something so devastating inbound and seriously months or a year from now. I keep calling October of 2024 with the global liquefaction event as the second magnetic field sets up in the outer solar system, which I did in last episode here at Brighteon TV talking about the very same thing. If you want to watch that, a full hour of graphics explaining it. We've gone from living a life to full track trace, monitoring, purchasing, and the spam being an anti-theft devices. This is how quickly it's transitioned and shifted. I look at this and I shake my head and go, that's a joke right there. But it's reality. People are stealing the food out of supermarkets to the point where they're going for the high dollar Hormel hams and sort of thing. Those are all locked behind wire cages now too. So anything processed meat that's in a can in a supermarket is now a target for theft. So, I mean, look, this is, if I were to show you this in 2019 and say, hey, in 2 years, your world is going to be this bent and destroyed and in collapse phase that they need to lock up the spam cans, you would have laughed at me. I would have laughed at myself if I had heard that too. It's just, it's comical. And the other absurdity is now this whole transition to green energy, and we got Teslas with generators behind them powering the car. Because A, California told all Tesla owners, electric car vehicle owners, don't charge. It'll tear down the power grid. It'll pull too much supply, so please don't charge your brand new Tesla. This is where we sit. Locked up spam and generators on the back of electric vehicles because the actual grid to provide that energy service is in collapse phase as well. Like, at what point do people not wake up and go, all right, it's collapsing literally everywhere around us? The very grid to deliver power, that's wiped out in Ukraine. So just a distant early warning on the grains side of things. All grain shipments have stopped out of the Ukraine, and they're not set to start again at this point. The last vessel that left out of there was the 15,000 tons that was headed to Ethiopia. That grain also didn't pass inspection for animal feed into the EU. So what do? The UN, like, oh, we're saviors. Send that you know, rejected grain down to Ethiopia. But give us a pat on the back. But that was, I think, one of the last chartered vessels that'll be leaving out of there full of grains. So all that other 9.6 million tons, so they claim, will be stuck in the Ukraine. It's not going to leave. So then, well, here's where we get to the bottlenecks. Like, what's going to happen now? Because all that new grain, they did plant some, but not nearly what they normally do. Generally, it was about 50 to 60% cut from what they normally plant. So you're looking at 40% of planted acreage. They're still going to get some harvest out of that. But where are they going to put it? Because all their grain storage facilities are full, too. They never exported what they normally do. So now we got old grain in the warehouses, new grain inbound, but you can't export it because the ports are being damaged. All rail routes as well. Got gas shortages across France. I've had somebody write it, well, it's because of the strike. No, it's because there's shortages, and this whole debacle and EU non-elected officialdom calling the shots for the globalists at the World Economic Forum seem to be part of the problem here, and Italy's experiencing some of the same. Gas rationing, we see rationing of power across Poland, where now they're pulling up coal in the back of their trunks. If this was in Poland, these cars would be at a coal mine opening their trunks to put coal in the back so they could heat their homes during the winter. That's what Poland is like. Police are checking people's gas tanks here. See a police officer off to the left? They're checking the gas tanks. If you have too much fuel in your tank and you're in line here, they'll say you got to leave. This is only for emergency fill-ups. If you're too full, you can't get any more, which is strange. So let's talk about bottlenecks for a second. I know we're coming up to the break here, but I'm going to give you a primer about the bottlenecks and what's happening globally. Now, something has severely broken at the point of delivery or embarkation or import. These are what are the grain barges moving down the Mississippi River here in America. We are in harvest season. What you see here is considered just one barge. It's a series of those barges connected together, but as a count off the Coast Guard, this counts as one vessel. There are currently 182 of these just waiting there to move anywhere because they're stuck. It's a massive drought in the Mississippi River. It's some of the lowest they've had in quite some time. The Army Corps of Engineers is trying to dredge it to get these things through, but they're waiting both north and southbound to transit traffic here. These are full. Now they're getting panicked, and they're pulling them to the side and seeing if they can get them over onto trucks to get that off the rivers and get it somewhere into a facility so it doesn't go bad. Because the same thing that happened with Ukrainian grain, it won't even be passable for animal food. This is what the American crop might turn into. So the Mississippi River's so low. And look at this line of trucks waiting to get into a storage facility. Now, what's the manpower involved of taking that off of a barge that was already packed, moving it onto a truck, and then trying to get it somewhere? Profits are being eaten away at every single step of this. So a lot of these agricultural companies are going to be missing on their revenue forecasts. Look how many banks are in full collapse, like Credit Suisse. So many things are happening across the economy and our food and our agriculture. So how does this all wrap into where are things being stuck right now of the integral, incredibly important bedrock pegs of our society, food and energy, but it's starting to pile up across the planet because it can't be moved anymore. So it's either going to rot where it is, or they're going to have to move it at a discount and you're going to have to come with your own truck and pick it up, because currently where it's stuck is where it stays. And we're heading into the cold months. Join me for the next half hour as we dive deeper into the bottlenecks. I'll see you then. David Dubine.
Nearly all the vitamin C sold at retail today comes from China, and it's made from genetically modified corn. Even though vitamin C is a critical part of immune support, it's also critical to know where your vitamin C comes from. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com, and we only sell non-China, non-GMO vitamin C. We then subject it to rigorous laboratory testing in our own food science lab, checking for heavy metals, glyphosate, as well as microbiological contamination. Only after it passes our tests do we encapsulate it and package it for our audience. You can find it at BrighteonStore.com. It's not the cheapest vitamin C on the market, but it is by far the most rigorously tested and honestly sourced vitamin C available anywhere in the world. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com. Mike Adams here with an operator, a deployment leader on the Texas southern border who's been using these satellite-based bivy sticks for very effective communications. And he's here just give us a few words about how these bivy sticks are operating, how it's helping he and his team members. And remember, these are available through the satellite phone store, sat123.com. It's satellite-based text messaging. Works when no cell towers work or aren't reachable.
We use these to communicate GPS cords to when we are seeing drug runners or people carrying stuff. We've had, you know, bust up to 13,600 pounds worth of marijuana and fentanyl that we have been on operations with in conjunction with federal agents and supporting them in their operations.
So they are pro-America and pro-humanitarian in helping to keep our country and our community safe. Everybody, God bless America. Take care.
And welcome back. David Dubine here, Brighteon TV, Uncensored. Talking about the bottleneck of energy and food, where that will stay, and how this will affect pricing through the rest of the year. And how is this going to get unstuck is more the question. And what ramifications or what will be the effects of this as it moves forward? We're going to see gargantuan losses in terms of rotting and just dumping of foods, as we've seen. If there's milk production, if there's too much milk production, they don't have anywhere to put it. They just dump it in the fields. Now, we saw that during COVID, and you saw many a film and a clip coming out of farmers literally dumping their milk in the fields. They weren't getting the prices for it. The food and beverage industry had shut down. Convention centers, universities, restaurants. So the need for the milk on that contract buy wasn't there any longer. So instead of taking such a low price or even getting a no bid for it, they just poured it out. So we're seeing something kind of similar beginning to happen here on the grains side. So just before the break, thank you for coming back and spending valuable time here. These trucks are now trying to take that grain, which was either on barges, which was unloaded back onto the trucks to try to get it to a facility because they can't get it downriver. Or they just went straight to truck knowing that there was a barge backup on the Mississippi and they tried to take it to the grain elevators themselves. Right off the truck, just skipping it, knowing, okay, there's no way we're getting it on. Let's just try to save it somewhere. So this is what they've been relegated to here. So please let this sink in for a second. The grain elevators are the structural steel things that you see on the right and the left there. Now those normally, they'll get full, but they're such an overflow capacity that they're putting the grain under tarps now. There's nowhere else to put it. Like our system to move it from point to B, A to B has completely broken down. That system is now in malfunction and collapse phase like everything else we're seeing. So I really believe We're truly at the last of it here before the full imminent collapse is inbound. The ability to move grains across the planet has ceased pretty much. It's locked up to the point of it's visibly locked up now, and it's no longer deniable. From the Ukraine ports being bombed out, that they can't move their grain, a massive supplier, the world's largest grain exporter for export to smaller nations. That's it, Ukraine, and they're not going to send anything. The rest of Europe experienced the smallest harvest in 30 years for corn, at least in France. Wheat harvest also incredibly low in Germany. So as we look across, we're looking at the worst harvest, at least 30 to 50, someplace 70 years. And then we find this where the grains are going to get stuck in transit. Now, will insurance pay for this? Possibly. But then, you know, just like the catalyst with the insurance companies, all that payout in Florida, a lot of them are just going bankrupt and saying, force majeure, we can't pay. So think about this. You have all these tarps out here and all this outdoor stored grain. And then suddenly we have a derecho inbound. Now, for those of you who don't know what a derecho is, it's sideline winds that come in swinging at about 80 to 100 miles per hour. Now, these derecho winds destroy grain elevators anyway. But now we have this high pressure system going to be swinging down through the 18th. Now, this is the first of two. Now, if they're unable to get these grains moved and those things are covered by tarp and you get a derecho 100 mile an hour wind winging in there, those tarps are gone, the coverage is gone, and those grains are soaked, and they're lost. You literally can't, at that point, even bring them into animal feed. Unless they run them through an elevator again to dry them out, I don't know how they're going to do that, because they're already so backed up, chock-a-block, full. They can't move anything. They're literally at a bottleneck, because everything's just so full. These are what the record temperatures are looking like. So that record cold tongue swinging down is going to bash right through that hot zone, collapsing and clashing with the Gulf moisture, something similar to like we saw last year with the tornadic outbreak in Kentucky in December. That kind of wind is coming, ripping through where they're storing the grains right along the Mississippi. And then we get a second event coming up later on, October 27th. This is GFS model. Now, will it stay exactly queued off to this? Pretty close, not 100%, but something might shift as we move through. But you see that really dark striation of purple? And then you get that collapse right on the heat there, and there's that bend. I call it a rainbow ribbon of death. Because when you start to see this line up here, this is severe thunderstorms, exceptionally strong winds, hail, and, you know, coming into at the end of October, this temperature, bout in the sky of hot and cold, nothing good with this is going to be coming, especially if there's grains stored outside. So this is a distant early warning. Look for these two events, and then subsequently you look for crop destruction of the stored grains that are outside. And you know what's so prophetic with their crystal ball, the USDA? Remember, I did this slide about a month ago. Tight on bin space, the USDA was trying to help farmers rebuild their storage grain facilities and bins that were lost in the previous derechos of last year in December and November from the exceptional winds that blew through five different states. We're back at it again. But it's so prophetic that they're asking the farmers to hurry up and rebuild your bins. Look, we'll give you money if you do it. Like, how did they know all this was going to swing into play where we would lose and literally run out of storage space in America because we can't get the grains moved? That's crazy. That's really beyond even thinking of what is possible unless it's planned. Then it's possible, you know. But just in a natural unfolding ecosystem of events, I got a whole pond of black swans are covering my pond. That's how many variables that have to overlap that are impossible for this to even happen. Now, I'm going to say, though, it is better than the way China stores its grain. But we know what happens with Chinese stored grains. They've been buying a huge amount of stuff to stockpile it in their country, but this is how China stores its grain. They try to put tarps over it also. But look, it's outdoor. Luckily, it's snowing, so no pests will eat into that. This is how they store the grain outdoor there. A mountain of grain just out in the open. We're copying China's grain storage style right now. What has gone wrong? And they're locked up there too. The drought never really alleviated, so their river traffic is having problems too. Things aren't growing. These stored grains have rotted. And now, take that as the first stack up of something, of a good. So we got all this stack up of grains in two different countries that is not moving. Actually three, Ukraine, United States, and China. So the grains are one thing, and you put that over here, and that's just a stack up of grains that's not moving across the planet. But then we come over to this off American Shipper. If you want to get any information about shipping and freight rates, this is definitely one of the best sites to go to. But look at that, 76% down in the amount of demand for shipping, which in turn should cause a demand destruct on the price. Now, what is causing a 76% decline in Trans-Pacific route traffic and container volumes? Collapse in demand. Either us on this side not buying trinkets of junk sent over the ocean on pollution-spewing vessels, or China has shut down their factories because of a zero COVID policy. Put those two together, mission mash and boop, and then it's even worse than it was in 2020. So why do I say that? Well, let's look at the rates here. Last year, when it was at that exceptionally high, they didn't have enough containers. Hapag-Lloyd had to manufacture 1.5 million containers over the last 2.5-3 years to then, you know, bring up enough containers to meet demand again. But my whole question was, where did those initial 1.5 million containers disappear to that had to be replaced? Were they packed up and sent underground for continuity of government? I certainly think so. A 20% reduction in rail capacity, 20% of the rail cars in America just disappeared. Not really. They were probably packed and then sent underground for continuity of government. A lot of these shortages we see are governments competing with those resources and those supply chains to get ready for the collapse. Their continuity of government comes first, not you. Never will be. So what we're seeing is containers and ways to move things. And there was a shortage of barges there for a while too. So again, you know, pack them up, take them elsewhere. This is what seems to be appeared or what has happened, containers, rail cars, and barges. Now back to the shipping here. Last year, $19,000 for a 40-foot coming across the ocean. Now it's $3,900. The collapse, that much demand has driven that. And that's gonna go lower. And I do believe here, oh yeah, it was $3,799 was the last price here. So it decreased even further off the shipping index. And what happened, remember when COVID occurred, right when everybody started to get locked down and the first smashing of all small mom and pop businesses and the ring out of everything on our society, we got stacked up with all these containers across all these ports in the world. They just came in, they unloaded, but then they weren't refilled for the return journey. We're seeing this again. So now we got another stack up of containers happening across the planet. We got a stack up of grains. Now we got a stack up of containers happening 2.0. A lot of strangeness. And here's the third thing that's gonna really like kind of spin you for a second here. Europe is facing record LNG rates for their ships to bring that from the United States currently. This is what an LNG tanker looks like. They're not small. Massive. And how much do you think it costs to run one of these per day? $397,000 per one day. Now, so here's the thing. There's not enough of these ocean-going vessels. So to even have one or access to one is value in itself. It's beyond the money because you're delivering energy, which then could be used for something, which in the terms of you have something in a shortage, that's way more valuable than the money itself because you have the product, the physical. So what we're looking at here is the Eurozone is forced to keep these tankers at that rate sitting off their coasts at their beck and call. Not to go swinging across the ocean for another buyer to fill it up and take it off to India or swing it over to China. No. Those are all for Europe. And they're all being bid and paid for daily. $397,000 times 50 just to keep access to them. Now they're full, and here's another thing. This is another bottleneck right here, number three on the bottleneck list. They're bringing these vessels in, but remember, before almost all the gas was transited through the Russian pipeline system into the Euro network and then sent on from there, obviously coming over the Ukraine through Poland and then off into Germany and then all that entire pipeline down to Italy and swinging across through Slovenia and then making its way down to Spain and France. So what they're trying to do now is take this LNG and then do the same thing, reverse that, but take it from the port and then spit it out through the system there. The problem was, this system was never designed to do that. It was designed to offload that LNG to power factories directly, and then those factories producing products just reload those in the same port areas. So they're having some problems with pressure difficulties of trying to get all this LNG, take it off the ports, and then wire it literally, baling wire and duct taping it to the network so it can be sent into a country. But then the problem is, once it goes far enough from the port, there's not enough pressure to continue to be pushing it down, so they're having pressure issues. Close to the port, it's overpressurized because they're not used to taking it off of the port. Once you get out of the port and you get into that system, they're having overpressurization issues where they're closing things down out of danger for explosion. But then when you get further away from the port, then they're having issues because there's not enough pressure to keep pushing it through to get it into the main pipeline system again. So what's happening is they're maxed out on where they can even store the LNG, except in the ship sitting offshore for $400,000 a day. This is another bottleneck. Why is this happening? And you got the whole same regurgitation of, oh, it's unchecked hydrocarbons spilling out onto the planet. We need to start a war. Now, I encourage you to take a look. You could freeze this frame here. I found this so interesting because as we look through history, we find the different types of architecture, the height of the architecture, the grandness of the building styles themselves. But what do they all have in common? Every civilization that has built this has collapsed because of these food lean times. Whatever the cause, grand solar minimum, countries go to war for more food resources. But look deeply into this. Every society that has built this has collapsed when they don't have enough food on a particular 400-year cycle. We're back here again, and there's really, you know, somebody knows this and they're trying to run our society into the ground. It can't be fixed. That's the problem. It really can't. Nature's going to do its thing. Our carrying capacity on the planet maxed out in the way it was done. I'm just saying the way it was done. It could have been more efficient ways where we could have lived in harmony, more localized, that we could have gotten through this mess. But nope, it always seems to take it to this, you know, supply chain. And you could even go back into the 1600s when they started to take ships across the ocean, right? They started to get that global supply moving at that point too. So you got the tulip bubble. These sort of things have been happening for so long now. Now, is it a cycle again? Yes. So here's what's happening. China's restricting any kind of exports of cornstarch. So they would generally bring it in, refine it in cornstarch, and then send it out. Well, something's wrong with their base product, or their factories aren't running where they can't offer you exports. So cut that out. Resource nationalism, yes. And then Kashmir here, if you go up into India, they've first banned wheat exports, sugar exports, and now they're banning rice exports. So what's going on in India? They definitely got the clue that they can't grow enough to feed their own people. So it's not for sale anymore. India was the largest exporter of rice to 150 countries. Now, where are those countries going to get the rice from is the question. Mexico's halting exports. Malaysia's banning chicken exports. So I don't care if it's huge nations like India or smaller nations like Malaysia. They're all following the same swim like a fish pattern, resource nationalism. It won't be long. I absolutely, unequivocally will say by November or December, every country on the planet will stop their exports of food. They're going to need it that badly to stop the street protests and the riots because of hyperinflation, economic collapse, and then food inavailability and food inflation. That's the only survival mechanism governments have at their fingertips at the moment. Everything is spinning out of control. Well, unless you knew what the cycle was, then you'd say, maybe I can control it on the downward and milk all the wealth out. Now, we're going to come back to, you're going to see some staggering prices for fertilizers in the springtime in the Northern Hemisphere. Now, what's happening in the Southern Hemisphere, they're having that year without a summer. So their demand for fertilizer, it will also be there, but probably not at the levels it was before, because the amount of crops they can put in the ground is going to be greatly diminished. And if you don't understand what a year without a summer is, Tambora is the best example of it. We're seeing 2.0 best example happening in real time in the Southern Hemisphere. All-time coldest temperatures ever, and over half of the temperature stations in New Zealand for the month of September. The entire month, coldest ever recorded, half the temperature stations in New Zealand. This is real. It's happening now. Crop losses are going to be so mind-numbingly large in the Southern Hemisphere. But then that will, you know, this, maybe we could save the day by planting in the Northern Hemisphere. But look at the anhydrous ammonia prices. It went up to, it spiked to like $1,500. This is in Missouri. Dropped, it was at 800, up to 1,500. And that's almost a doubling, and then it dropped back down to 1,325. So even if we use what had happened from 20 to 21, you need to add another $700 on top of that, which would take that over $2,000 a ton. We're looking at those prices plus plus. If it's available or not, you know, I could not even be surprised if we go to $3,000, $3,500. And then we go over to Iowa and we see the same thing. Currently it's $1,400 a ton. It was $700. They had the super spike to $1,700, dropped back down to $1,400. But just doing the simple math on using the same price rises from 2021 upward, that got to add $1,000. So we're looking at $2,400 minimum right there in Iowa, if it's available. And it would not surprise me to go to $4,000 here in Iowa. Food prices are unaffordable at that point for the general populace. Dare I talk about economic collapse? One day, Secretary Yellen, oh, I don't see any liquidity problems, nothing for concern, and 24 hours later, flipping it. I'm very concerned about the loss of adequate liquidity in treasuries. Hey, you know what? In 2019, I do want to ring the bell here. Ding, ding, ding. Overnight repo rates spiked. They were going to crash the market. Suddenly, COVID came in, and that was the excuse to never-ending money printing QE. You realize that this point here, at the end of 2019, we were at another market collapse point, which we returned to this week. They staved it off for 2 years. Threw COVID in there, collapsed the businesses, reduced production, reduced consumption, and then printed all that money into infinity to stop this collapse in 2019. Now that's a big amount of push to put COVID in there to stop the collapse on the financial markets. And we see it again. UK economy would have collapsed had they not put trillions into the market overnight along with Credit Suisse. We're back at it, exactly at the same point again. So my conjecture is, what is so vast that has to eclipse COVID this time to allow more money printing to stop this collapse so they can milk yet more wealth out as the final collapse phase begins? The Bank of England said, tell pension funds they need to rebalance all their allocations because the monetary tools they used are going to be yanked. Wait, that was on October 11th. That's October 14th, which is today. So I'm wondering what's going to happen with the banking sector over in England as this gets pulled, and who gets left kept with the bag? Oh, those who were holding British pounds, the highest, steepest collapse in history of the British pound going back to the 1500s. That's who. Pass it on to the taxpayer. That was the largest single drop in a 4x market for a developed economy ever on the planet, ever, in the last 500 years. Put that into perspective. That's England that crashed that much. And then Vanguard's going to liquidate and shutter some of their ETFs for the first time in its history. They're getting the message the collapse is happening. Vatican pulled all their funds out before the 30th. Remember that article that had been making the news? Vatican had to pull all their funds out before the 30th. Their main holding was with Credit Suisse, which is now in collapse, that had to have $3.5 billion per night put into it to prevent collapse. And the Vatican just got the advance notice to take all their money out of there. The financial part of it's happening too, along with the ability to transport food and energy. And it is truly the perfect storm that we're seeing. And I hope this has set you up today to understand, like, these scaling mortgage prices, unaffordable homes, China consumer confidence crashing again, the most on record, but it's only since the 1940s. So where does that bring us into the whirlpool? Perhaps a solution would be gravitational vortex power. Spin, water, Schauberger principles, put a small turbine into it. Doesn't even have to be that high tech. They're doing it in Nepal. What do you think we could do? Excuse me for the overlay there on top of the bicycle wheel. You could use and retrofit old dams, 2 cubic meters per second, and you have electricity, 57 megawatts per year coming off this little thing. I do appreciate you watching. The solutions are all around us. You want to go back to this? No way. There's too many solutions that provide us clean power. I'll see you next time. Bye for now.